Well, if we can't beat him, we might as well keep our pride.
Yeah. Jesse, that's not pride. Sure, when Dwayne roped that big oaf, part of me cheered. But guys, I've been there. I know how you feel. I wanted to cream that jerk that busted my knee when I played in the minors. But you know what? My knee will heal. And if I become someone I'm not, well, then I've lost more than my knee. You understand?
Yes. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our family meeting on coaching today. And so far, we focus mostly on sports and athletic coaching. So let's talk now about the fast-growing field of life coaching with my next guest, who is a life coach and trainer of coaches and the past president of the industry group, the International Coach Federation, Janet Harvey. Welcome to WNYC.
Oh, thank you so much, Brian. It's my pleasure to be here.
And Janet, for people who don't know the term, what is a life coach? It's not a therapist, right?
That's right. And it's very helpful to understand the distinctions. Coaching came forward because people are, in today's life, really seeking a good thinking partner. And the way the International Coach Federation defines coaching is partnering in a creative and thought-provoking exchange that inspires people to maximize potential, both personally and professionally. I was struck by your earlier guests on the show, and in particular, a couple of the call-in people, the woman who's working with folks in earning their education, keeping their dreams in focus, and the other talking about sports, being able to come from within. These are elements that are fundamental to the life coaching process. And it allows for adults to have a really empowering thinking partnership to create the life they want.
We don't actually need any guests on this show because our listeners are so incredible. But who uses life coaches? Is this primarily a luxury item for the well-to-do?
Perhaps it could be seen that way in its origins. Back in the early 90s, the roots in North America very much came out of the human potential movement and, frankly, out of psychotherapy, recognizing that one reaches a stage of healing and well-being through a therapeutic process, and then what do we choose? What we have seen now emerge over the last two decades is, in organizational settings, this has become the go-to intervention in order to increase performance, effectiveness, and good work-life balance, which of course means we're working with the totality of the person, and therefore all coaching is life coaching. Yes, individuals outside the workplace are also being drawn to coaching. How do we find a way to relate to the incredible pace of life in a way that keeps us related with family, with children, with friends, with our community, to find a way to understand how to make better choices in our lives so that we're not run by our life, we're actually in relationship to it. And in this way, many people now see this as fundamental to their overall well-being in life and not a luxury item, but a necessity.
Listeners, have you ever used a life coach? How did the process help you? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. We'll take a few phone calls from people who may have used life coaches, a fast-growing field in the United States. And then for our final segment coming up in a little bit, we will meet one of the only women to ever coach a high school boys football team. And we will talk to her about that experience and, you know, the gender bender of that, but also in general about coaching. We'll finish up very broadly this family meeting on coaching today with Natalie Randolph coming up in a few minutes. But right now with Janet Harvey, past president of the International Coach Federation. Anybody listening who's ever used a life coach, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Can I just ask you before we take some of the calls that are coming in, why do you use the title coach as opposed to mentor or teacher or advisor?
Yes, thank you for that. I often think about this, Brian, in a metaphor. In my left hand, I put the modalities we mentioned earlier about working with a counselor or a psychotherapist. And in my right hand, I put trainer and mentor and consultant. In both cases, and these are incredibly useful modalities, the individual who is the practitioner holds a position of expert. They're providing both a process and often the responsibility for the outcomes that an individual using their services will achieve. In a coaching relationship, we're standing shoulder to shoulder, looking out on the horizon, the same horizon in the same perspective, where the client is operating as an expert in their life. They know inside what's most important for them. Most people don't stop long enough to listen well. And this is what a coach provides through a presence of deep curiosity and listening for meaning and being partnered to say, what else is available here? What might you be assuming? Where do you have a habit of expression that isn't supporting you? These are the things that a coach learns in a rigorous education process to become an ICF member and therefore partner well with a client to be on their way. Again, not dissimilar to what your listeners have been hearing already about the sports paradigm. We're simply now broadening it beyond sports into the totality of a person's life.
Let's take a phone call. Here is Phyllis in Somerset. And Phyllis, you work as a life coach?
Yes. Hi. Thanks, Brian, for taking my call. And I listen to your show all the time, so
thanks.
I just love it.
Can you tell me a story? I think we've gotten a lot of life coach basics from Janet. Can you tell me a story of somebody you've coached and how it worked for them?
Yes. I coach executives, corporate executives by and large. But as Janet said, it's all life coaching, and there are some very, very great similarities and connections to team coaching as well. But, you know, I coached one woman in particular in a corporate banking environment who was just kind of on the cusp of more senior leadership and really needed to focus internally on, as Janet said, just kind of understanding herself and being able to, I would say, order her behavior in such a way that she was aware not only of herself but of others around her and, most importantly, how she relates to others around her. And so, you know, I think at the end of the day, it is, as Janet said, about helping someone to listen closely to themselves and become aware of their own behavior in such a way that it helps not only them connect to themselves better, but connect to other people better as well.
Phyllis, thank you so much. And let's go on to Dominique in Brooklyn. Dominique, you're on WNYC. You used a life coach?
I have. My introduction to coaching was actually that I went through a coach training program. I didn't end up becoming a life coach, but I have had a coach for about 5 years. I had been in therapy for years and years and got really good at it and got good at making all the connections about why I am the way I am and how my past influenced all of that. But with a coach, I've had amazing breakthroughs in personal relationships. I've started a business, changed my relationship to money. I really don't think my life would be what it is if it weren't for having worked with a coach for all these years.
What could a coach bring to you that a therapist couldn't? Because I imagine the training for a life coach, and maybe Janet Harvey wants to weigh in on this, is much less time, maybe much less academic, maybe much less rigorous than it is for a therapist who's probably at least a master's degree and probably a PhD, if not an MD, right?
Well, certainly. The coach training program I did, though, was a year of pretty intensive training and then another year of mentoring new coaches. I know there are coach training programs where you can kind of dial in and become a coach over a weekend. Again, certainly not comparable to getting a PhD, but I think there are some training programs that are pretty rigorous. But as far as the difference is that I thought that the therapy had a lot to do with looking backwards, and all of the coaching is about looking forward. Mm. And in fact, if I'm with my coach and I start doing too much, well, my parents made me blah, blah, blah. She's like, so what are you going to do about it? So it's constantly forward motion as opposed to dwelling on the past or even on the current situation.
Dominique, thank you so much. So Janet Harvey from the International Coach Federation, I know one of the things your group works on is accreditation. So what should people who might want to hire a life coach look for to know that somebody's legit, at least in your organization's eyes?
Yes, thank you, Brian. And I'll pick up the thread of the previous question you asked. You might be curious to know that the ICF membership base, 68% of that base holds either a master's or a PhD. And when I started in this field a couple of decades ago, I found that quite interesting because it was that education isn't enough. In fact, the cognitive side, what I need to know to be a coach, is a very straightforward learning process. What's much more challenging, and the reason most quality programs, those that carry the ICF approval or accreditation, are at least 12 and in some cases 24 months in duration. There is a rigorous process of learning, application, feedback, reflection, reapplication, feedback, and assessment that is going on over time as someone acquires the competency of a coach. And frankly, I have more than 10,000 hours of practice as a coach. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't learn something new from my clients and from my work. And that's the nature of human beings, right? We're kind of messy. And so we're always in a learning process. And so the opportunity available by being part of ICF as a professional body is a lifelong learning journey of professional development. Once someone's earned certification through a recognized institution, then they have an opportunity to do the continuing education over time. And, of course, we also have a very thorough code of ethics and professional conduct standards. And that's something that every coach is getting education in on an ongoing basis.
And can you just tell me, as we're running out of time, several people are calling in to say, and I've also read, how expensive life coaching can be. One of our callers says life coach trial session, $600. How can somebody get affordable life coaching?
Well, I would recommend calling any of the local chapters of the ICF. They're in all the major cities around the globe. We have 117 chapters, and all of them provide opportunities to receive the gift of coaching, which is our pro bono programs. Coaches are very generous in giving back into community. There are a number of programs that have reached out to community centers to provide the gift of coaching. And the coach referral service that's available on coachfederation.org is a place to look for coaches, and you can put a price. What can you afford to pay? And coaches will reach back to you to do that. There is something for everyone, and our belief is that coaching will become an integral part of society. And that happens by access. So it's there for those who want to seek it.
Janet Harvey, past president of the International Coach Federation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC will wrap up our Brian Lehrer Show family meeting on coaching today with two things right after this break. We were talking about Phil Jackson so much earlier in the hour. Well, they just introduced him as the new president of the Knicks, and we're going to play about a minute-long clip of Phil Jackson musing around some of the things that we were touching on, even as he talks about how he's going to turn the Knicks into champions after all these years, he hopes. And we'll meet one of the only women ever to coach a boys' high school football team and talk to her about that, but also very broadly about coaching, Natalie Randolph, and she'll take your calls. Stay with us.
You got anger, that's good. You're going to need it, son. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection.